Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The secret's oat. For nourishing your sensitive skin, start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash to gently cleanse and help preserve your skin's moisture barrier. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.
Tom Hart is a play-by-play man for ESPN and the SEC Network. I believe this weekend he's going to be on the call for Mississippi State and Kentucky. He's nice enough to join us now. Tom, what's up, man?
What's up, boys? How we doing today?
Everything is about as good as it can be in 2020, so we are grateful for that. So Mississippi State, Kentucky, is that the assignment this weekend?
That's what we got. That's what they say. You know how it is. You got to stay flexible. 2020.
Yes.
You never know.
But 100%.
And it should be fun. I think it's going to be a game for fans that like offense. We know what the air raid is capable of, right? I mean, we got a taste of it with their week one win against LSU. But even more important, Kentucky's secondary has been absolutely atrocious this season. Of the 74 teams playing football, they're ranked 74th in pass efficiency defense. So this is not exactly the opponent you want to draw when you're trying to get things figured out on the back end.
Who needs a win more? Mike Leach is coming off of, you know, what you would have to say is just a very, very disappointing loss, if not downright embarrassing, to Arkansas. And Kentucky is 0-2 after starting the season in the top 25. Who needs a win more?
Well, it's interesting. It depends on how the game plays out. And you know, these two fan bases are obviously very different. I think Mississippi State fans understand that they're in a honeymoon phase right now. That being said, you know, even if you're recently married, you still don't want your wife going out in the shortest red dress and highest heels she can find. So what I mean by that is it will be, if Mississippi State loses, it'll be about how they lose. I mean, if this ends up being 45-35 and the air raid looks good and most of the decision-making looks good, I think State fans shrug their shoulders and go, well, it's kind of what we thought we were going to get. If it ends up being 21-10 and they run for 9 yards and they can't convert any third and shorts because they throw it every time in a driving rain and they're stubborn about it, then things are going to look differently with this State fan base, I think.
Does Tennessee's 8-game winning streak, do they extend it to 9 on Saturday against Athens? The odds certainly say no. How much of a chance do you give the Vols, and particularly that rushing offense, right? Garantano's been good, but he's been solid, I'll put it that way, maybe a little above average. But that run game has been pretty special. How much of a chance you give them against Georgia this weekend?
Well, the O-line has been sensational. Yep. And once we knew that Cade Mays was going to be allowed to play this season, it took a really good offensive line, and it made him a great offensive
line. Absolutely.
I still don't think people appreciate what Trey Smith went through last year in terms of going out there and playing and having, you know, I talked to him about it multiple times. I think at the bowl game, he told us that he had played in 1 full padded practice all season. And to go out there and play in the SEC, so I've always, that guy constantly impresses me.
Sure.
You know, this is my boy Cole Kublik is going to lose the pleats in his pants. He's going to be so excited watching this game. This is going to be a game decided in the pits, right? Can Tennessee's offensive line gain any ground on Georgia's defensive front? That's an elite defense. Between the tackles was impossible for Auburn last week. On top of that, Tennessee's coming off of a game. I think they ran it 51 times. They didn't go backwards once. And now this is not Missouri they're facing. This is a stout, elite defense. So they've got to step their game up. I mean, I think Tennessee can keep it close, much like, you know, much like teams keep it close with Virginia basketball. I think Georgia's going to play a lot of low-scoring games this year. I think opponents are going to have a hard time getting into the red zone, let alone scoring. But because they're going to be low-scoring games, just one mistake could turn this thing. And so, yeah, I think Tennessee absolutely has a chance. And, oh, by the way, if Tennessee wins this game, that's the biggest win
absolutely.
In the Pruitt era, right?
Oh,
and
sure.
You can have an 8-game win streak all you want. Indiana, you know, was nothing in the bowl game. And some of these conference wins they had last year, tail end of the year, were less than impressive. Based on the opponent, not taking away anything from Tennessee, but this shows that they're a force to be reckoned with if they can go into Athens and get a win, especially considering what Georgia did against Auburn last week.
Absolutely. I'd say you've arrived if you can go into Georgia and get that win. Well, what do you think the chances that Stetson Bennett remains the quarterback for that entire season and that they look the way they did this past week? I just wonder if how long that leash is for Kirby Smart. I know he was solid last week, but you got JT Daniels sitting there. I just wonder, what do you think the chances are that Bennett's the starter the rest of the way? Not very high, right?
Well, it depends. Oddly enough, I think it depends on the defense. I mean, this is the guy that they've tried to not give a shot to time and time again, but he's earned it, and And we've seen that before, but rare is the opportunity for a guy like Stetson Bennett that he's around long enough to finally get that chance.
That's true.
I would say, like, if you said, hey, we're in Vegas, put money on it one way or the other, if I was just answering that question directly, I would say this is 2020. We've got COVID-19 going on. We've got wacky schedules. Mm-hmm. We've got contact tracing. Of course, I wouldn't bet on one guy being the starter quarterback all season with any program. I mean, you'd be talking about Alabama, and I go, well, yeah, any minute they could make a switch for reasons outside of offensive efficiency. I just don't think – I don't see Kirby Smart being one to change things up just for the sake of change. So given how they looked last week and what he was able to do from a leadership perspective, I don't see it changing anytime soon, but that doesn't mean that if, you know, they run into a brick wall offensively that and Daniels had been taking a lot of reps just because he wasn't medically cleared. It's not like he's coming back from a concussion and he's been sitting in a dark room for the last 3 months, right? He's been out there. He's wearing a different colored jersey, as quarterbacks always do. So, yeah, I think that could happen at any moment. Kirby doesn't strike me the kind of guy who makes changes for change's sake.
We are talking to Tom Hart, going to be on the call for Mississippi State and Kentucky this weekend, play-by-play man for ESPN and the SEC Network. We got a very fascinating game this weekend, a little pregame fun between Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban there. Ole Miss is 1-1, and you know they're probably going to get their doors blown off in this game. But what we've seen is that Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin is going to score a lot of points. But being in the SEC West, when you're in, you know, again, one of the toughest, if not the toughest division in all of college football, like what is the realistic sort of, you know, ceiling for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss? Like, what should you strive to be every year?
Wow, that's a fantastic question, and I hadn't thought about year-to-year results for Lane because he's just been kind of a meteor in the places he's been as a head coach. And I had their Florida Atlantic team in the bowl last year right after he took off. I mean, I don't know that you can expect consistency. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to have highs and lows, and I think that those highs and lows are going to be predicated on the maturing recruiting class, you know, whatever year that is, the amount of talent that he's able to not just bring to Oxford, but keep in Oxford. I mean, remember some of his recruiting classes at Tennessee.
Right.
Isn't that the running back that robbed a dude for a cheeseburger at the Pilot on campus? Didn't that happen under Lane's watch? I might be conflating a couple different eras. But, you know, keeping guys there and letting them do their thing. And then secondly, And this is going to be ugly this year defensively, right? I mean, they're going to need to learn to stop people. Kentucky ran for over 400 yards and 6 touchdowns. They lost the game because they missed the extra point, and they couldn't stop Matt Corral and that Ole Miss offense. So I don't want to say that Ole Miss did not deserve to win, but at some point in this league, you have to stop somebody. I tell you what, the Egg Bowl should be fascinating. I mean, that thing could be in the 60s. And I think this one, I think the over-under this one is high 60s,
yeah.
You know, combined, 69.5 or something. I could see the combined score going into the 70s easily. I think you know, ESPN would be wise to have a camera on both coaches throughout the game, because we know Alabama's going to be up big, and is Saban going to keep his foot on the gas pedal? And my guess is in the fourth quarter he will.
Yeah, I think so too. And the great thing about the Egg Bowl is, like, I could see these two coaches tweeting each other at halftime. Like I could see them going to the locker room and, like, tweeting at each other, you know?
Yeah. No. Well, I don't know that Leach really cares about anybody else enough to tweet at somebody. He cares about himself enough to tweet what he thinks of things and, you know, hopes you laugh along. But I think Lane's got a better handle on that. Like,
yes.
Like, Lane to me, and I love being around him, but he's the guy, like, he's the friend of yours that you love hanging out with, like, on the weekend. But if he calls you to go hang out on Tuesday, you're probably like, nah, I'm good, bro. Like, I got to work tomorrow.
No doubt.
Like, I'll see you Saturday when things are going to get weird. But Tuesday, nah, I'll be fine.
No, you're exactly right. One of the sort of the cool things in 2020 is to want to dethrone Georgia there in the East in favor of Florida. Are you taking that bait? Do you think it's Florida's division to win?
Yeah, I do. And I thought this before the season because of the questions that Georgia had at quarterback. I will admit that Georgia surprised me with their dominance of Auburn. I think that Auburn is not who we thought they were week one. And once we learned that Kentucky's secondary is not just underperforming, but, you know, there's reports out of Lexington that the entire secondary was out through most of fall camp with COVID. It makes sense why Bo Nix looked like that in week one, and then why Georgia was able to completely shut down Auburn's offense in week two. The two polar ends of the spectrum there. And I say that because, you know, I look at Florida, and I always thought this was going to be an offensive attack that's going to be really good. I think they've proven that early. You've got a offensive coach in Dan Mullen who is willing to experiment a little bit and try new things. And I think he can win simply, and he can win being exotic. And I think that's, you know, we joked early when we started this call about just the key to this season and this year being flexible. I think that's a huge advantage for Florida. The cocktail party is shaping up to be, you know, the game of the year, maybe in the entire league. You know, obviously you got Georgia Bama next week, and that's going to be a big one, and that could be fun. But I just think the animosity between the fan bases, coaching staffs seem to, you know, butt heads, you know, behind the scenes. I think that Georgia-Florida game will be fascinating.
It absolutely will. What's the rest of the season look like for LSU, you think, Tom? Are they an average football team that's having to replace everything? I mean, when I look at that talent, I have a hard time. I should probably take average out of it. It's a deal where you're plugging in a bunch of new starters. They took care of Vandy last week. You saw that. And I figure they'll take care of Missouri, even playing that game there this week. They've gotten really interesting one with at Florida next week. Is that a team, an LSU team, that could still be the second-best team in the West?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And to me, that has – at this point of the season, it has more to do with what Auburn looked like against Georgia. You know, because you can't ever judge teams in a vacuum in this league. It's always got to be related to other teams in their division. And I also think, guys, that this year it's going to be a case, and we say this all the time, like in SEC baseball, right? It's not who you play, it's when you play them. If you don't have your ace on a Friday night, then, you know, become a very pedestrian team. I think LSU is going to be just fine. I was surprised at the stubbornness that Bo Pelini showed in the opener against Mississippi State, not to make adjustments after halftime, not to simplify the attack. Barry Odom did a sensational job on Saturday with Arkansas. You know, we're going to rush three and we're going to drop eight. And oh, by the way, our three, based on how we line up, they're going to be able to get to the quarterback. That's not a good sign for Mississippi State, just as a sidebar. But I think LSU is going to be fine. I still think they have plenty of talent. I think the quarterback position, nobody's going to replace Joe Burrow, but it's better than we thought it was going to be. Miles Brennan had a really good game against Vandy. He can continue to get better. They've got playmakers. You know, there might be more playmakers on that roster going forward as other guys emerge. And defensively, they're never going to look as bad the rest of the year as they did week one. And I think we learned the value of not only your coordinator not being stubborn, but also the value of Derek Stingley to that defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is legit. I can't wait for him to make a couple plays on a primetime stage when he gets that opportunity, because it's going to be fun. If he's able to build on what he did last year, it's going to be fun having a defensive player in the Heisman conversation. And just watch, in the next couple of weeks, and it might happen Saturday, he's going to have a punt return or a kick return for a score. He's going to have a pick six in the same game, and everyone's going to go, "Nope, oh, there he is.
I believe
now,
it.
Now he's on the list." Yep. Yeah.
And then got to ask you, Tom, one of my favorite stories in college football this year is Mac Brown. He's 69 years old. This is a guy that at the end of his tenure at Texas, everybody said, you know, it was time to go. You had lost your touch. And he takes not one, not two, not three, but basically 6 years off. He gets in the booth, takes 6 years off in college football, returns to North Carolina, which a lot of people said was very random. And now you look up, and he's got the Tar Heels in the top 10 of college football. Have we ever seen anything quite like this where, you know, a guy that age takes that amount of time off and then he returns, has that team back in the top? I mean, it just feels like it's a great story.
Yeah, you've got me thinking. Like, you've got me thinking about guys, because usually when you're that age, it's because you're still out of place, right?
Right, right.
I mean, you're still at the place where you made your hay. He's a miracle worker, okay?
Yep.
Y'all ready for a story? It's going to sound sacrilegious, but he's a miracle worker. Remember when Jesus turned water to wine?
Yes.
And everybody in the crowd, they're eating the loaves and fishes that were never ending, and they're like, "Man, that was amazing." Usually you serve the best wine first, and he's serving the best wine second. Wasn't that an offshoot of that story?
Yeah.
I'm at Mac Brown's house 3 years ago, and we go there after a Texas A&M baseball game. He welcomes us in. He says, "Let's put Sports Center on." The TV drops down from the ceiling. I mean, it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. He breaks out. We've got some guys that like wine. He breaks out some wine. He brings out the first bottle, which is more expensive than anything I've ever thought about buying in my life. And he's like, "Yeah, we got this one lying around." We finish that, and he goes, "Oh, I got this other one here." And he serves a better one second. I'm like, who does this unless you've got loaves and fishes coming out? Like, that's my Mac Brown Jesus. Story.
Mac Brown is Jesus. He is the football Jesus.
I haven't seen him walk on water, but it was storming that night in Austin. He's just such a genuine dude that he's a people person, and people relate to him. And that allows you to get not only kids to buy in and parents, and the roster is certainly important, but it also allows you to attract a great staff. They've got to believe in that coach to come with them on this experimental journey as it was when it started in Chapel Hill. And it's tough to find anybody, you know, maybe if your name's Bob Stoops, I don't know. But it's tough to find anybody who wouldn't root for Mac Brown.
Yeah, I agree completely. Tom, you're the best in the business, man.
Thank you, Tom.
Watching and listening this weekend, man. Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Yep, he is Tom Hart, ESPN and SEC Network play-by-play man. Did you realize what Mac Brown was doing in North Carolina? Like, did you realize they were a top 10 team in the country?
I knew they're top 10.
Yeah, they got the homie Justin Fuente, who's also in the top 25.
I'll tell you, yes, your man, who you said is going to win a national championship there somewhere.
Well, we got time.
When you posed that question, the guy I immediately thought of, you're talking about Mac Brown, right? Everybody thought was washed up. I thought of Rick Barnes.
Yep.
Because it's like the same story.
Yep. Same place, too.
And it's the same place, and he's got Tennessee nationally relevant and probably going to be ranked pretty highly this year when it's all said and done. And plenty of talent and recruiting at a level we thought maybe was behind him.
Yep.
And, yeah, man, how much older? What's Barnes?
Barnes is 66. Right? Now, the only difference is
– what's the difference?
Mac took 6 years off.
Right, right. There wasn't that time in between for Barnes.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy.
What I didn't realize, it was 6 years he was out.
He resigned in 2013 at Texas. And he didn't take the job at North Carolina until 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And did you also know that Mac Brown coached at Memphis?
I may have known that.
He was a wide receivers coach.
No, I didn't know that.
In 1978.
Why the heck would I know that one?
Hey, Mac Brown.
Who was his head coach?
Whoever the head coach in 1978 was.
Mr. Trivia?
I don't know, man. I don't have that kind of information in front of me. All I know is that Mac Brown was here in 1978.
No, it's a heck of a story for Mac Brown.
No, I'm rooting for him, man.
Redemption song.
Richard Williamson appears to have been the coach in 1978.
Yeah, I didn't want to be wrong, so I'm glad we just got it right.
Big weekend in college football.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.